Good Weekend Talks is a new podcast from the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
It's a deep dive, once a week, into Australia's definitive stories.
On Good Weekend Talks,
we take a long-form look at the people,
places and issues
that matter to you.
Devour the issue in depth.
And learn the backstory and craft behind some of Good Weekend's most popular pieces.
It's your favourite magazine, brought to life for your ears, your heart and your soul.
Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Monday, April 6th. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia has recorded 5,750 cases of coronavirus and 37 people have died. I'm joined now by The Age's state political editor, Noel Tao. Noel Tao, thanks for joining me on Please Explain.
Pleasure.
You're in an interesting position as a journalist because your partner is also a journalist working at The Age. You're both working from home and you have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. How's that going?
Well, about as well as could be expected, I suppose. We're a little bit fortunate in that we have a tiny house out the back, which is more of a granny bedsit than a granny flat, I suppose. But it does provide that little bit of social distancing, if you like, from the children.
Somewhere you can hide from them.
Somewhere we can hide from them. I mean, also, because I lead the state coverage team for The Age, we actually are in a position where we do have to show up to press conferences, briefings and all the rest of it. So what we've done is we've rotated that, which means that in among a team of three, means that every 3 days I get to leave the house and actually go to work, which I'll be doing a little bit later on.
So let's talk about your Premier, Daniel Andrews, and his handling of the COVID-19 crisis in Victoria. I want to talk to you first about his rhetoric, because from the outside, I'm from New South Wales, I'm watching the Victorian situation as an observer, not someone living in it. He has definitely been the most dramatic of any of the political leaders in the National Cabinet about our prognosis and for where we're heading with this coronavirus crisis. Can you talk to me about where he's coming from on this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's well observed. Basically, from the start, Daniel Andrews and the people around him have almost, they've been very upfront about the fact that they're trying to lead the effort, that they are the people who want to go hard and go early in terms of social distancing and really making moves that appeared, certainly in the early days, to be quite radical. That they don't appear to be quite so radical now. And a lot of this stance was driven by the chief health officer, a guy called Professor Brett Sutton, who Daniel Andrews has relied on very heavily. And Professor Sutton has been something of a hardliner from the start. And again, unapologetically, he's clashed behind the scenes with the prime ministers, chief medical officer and deputy chief medical officer, because he's been so strident to get out ahead of the virus. The people here around the premier, not in a smug way, but they certainly do feel some sense of vindication that they've got the rest of the country on board to a certain extent. Hasn't been a smooth process by any means, and they haven't gotten everything their own way, but that's sort of how the wind is blowing now. Obviously in a developing situation that where things are fluid all the time.
So is he getting different advice to the Prime Minister? Because it's really struck me when he emerged from the last National Cabinet meeting at the end of last week, Prime Minister Scott Morrison was very upbeat. He and Brendan Murphy, the Chief Medical Officer, gave a press conference where they really congratulated Australians for flattening the curve, said they were quite optimistic about how it was all going. And then almost immediately, Andrews had a press conference where he said, I'm telling you that we're going to have to move the state to stage 4 restrictions, without saying when or what those mean. Is he getting different advice?
I think that observation sums up as neatly as you can get the different approach between Brett Sutton and the medical advisers around the Prime Minister. Professor Sutton's approach and mirrored in the Premier's approach has always been, don't express too much optimism. Don't allow people to get the idea that the foot can be taken off the pedal in terms of our responses, and particularly on the social distancing. And the Premier of Victoria, I should say, has taken this role and taken it quite willingly, where he's the guy in the room who is the pessimist and is quite deliberate. And the Victorians weren't thrilled with that upbeat sort of language that we saw from the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, and from the Prime Minister in the wake of that National Cabinet meeting, because they do believe very strongly that there's a risk that if the complacency can be deadly.
Has the Victorian authorities released any modelling or projections that they're working on about how long things are going to last, when the peak might be, how long they think we're going to be in this lockdown situation?
They haven't released their projections, their modelling, but their modelling has certainly developed over time. But about 2 weeks ago, Professor Brett Sutton was talking about the peak of the pandemic hitting Victoria in late May or early June, with about 45,000 people in hospital and with about 2,000 of those in intensive care, which at the time would have completely overwhelmed the state's ability to cope. Now, two things have happened since that has occurred. Those projections in terms of when that peak has come down have been revised downward, given the very low numbers of new cases we've seen in the past couple of days. Now, they're loathed to talk optimistically in those terms publicly, because again, it goes back to this idea that they're very, very, very concerned about complacency creeping in and about compliance being a problem and then the virus getting out there and getting away from us, which is the phrase we keep hearing both from the Premier and the Chief Health Officer. Getting away from us.
How are Victorians responding to that style of leadership? Because there has been some inconsistency. I mean, that situation last week where they told people that they couldn't visit their romantic partner and then backflipped on that, that was deeply upsetting for a lot of people who were worried about how their relationships were going to survive this crisis. Has there been any drop in confidence amongst Victorians in how it's being handled, or are they being cooperative generally?
It was upsetting for some people, and it was certainly embarrassing for the government in that it was a dramatic reversal on something that obviously attracted a lot of attention on social media and in the mainstream media, because it related to sex and relationships and was always going to attract attention. It hasn't been the only inconsistency we've seen from Daniel Andrews, who, generally speaking, in the community, his handling of this has been very well received. And I think he's drawn upon a lot of the authority that he built up during the bushfires when, again, he was seen as a very steady, safe pair of hands with consistent messaging all the way through. But there's been the occasional slip up on this one, and the what came to be known as the bunk ban, the short-lived bunk ban, was the most high profile. There was another problem with it was the week before last when the Premier went on radio and somebody asked him, can we go to our holiday house? And he said, yes, of course you can go to your holiday house, which there was no dramatic reversal on that one. It was much more of a sort of a quiet kind of a U-turn, but that's unnecessary travel. The government does not want people engaging in unnecessary travel. People going to holiday houses is now controversial because we're hearing from a lot of coastal regional communities. They don't want people coming down from Melbourne to sit this crisis out, but who will then put pressure on overstretched and scarce local health resources if the pandemic becomes acute. So one of the subplots in this pandemic from a journalism political thing has been that search for consistency from our leaders. And some of them have done it very well. Some of them have struggled. I think, you know, they've all wobbled at one point to an extent. I think it's hard to tell if that bunk ban wobble, if I can call it that, is gonna damage the Premier's credibility going forward. There certainly seems to be a two-pronged strategy. There's the voluntary compliance and the Premier coming out and telling Victorians how proud he is of them and how great they're doing and this is brilliant, keep it up. And that those little early signs of guarded, cautious optimism. But there's also a stick approach. There's been getting on for 1,000 spot checks made. Fines are being handed out. Short answer to your question, I think, look, so far very good in terms of how Victorians are cooperating. But I do think those little wobbles and those little inconsistencies that, you know, can have big consequences down the track for public confidence in the leadership and general authority.
Noel, just finally, let's talk about schools. Victoria effectively closed schools before everyone else by bringing forward the Easter school holidays, because Victorian schools go to holidays earlier anyway. And so when the Prime Minister said, no, schools should stay open, the Premier of Victoria was able to effectively close them by putting everyone on holidays. Term 2 is due to start next week. What is the latest position on what Victoria is going to do in term two?
The message was pretty clear that the vast majority of school children are not returning to classes next Monday as scheduled. Now, a lot of arrangements need to be put in place. What do we do with the children of emergency workers, of medical workers, of police officers, nurses, doctors, etc., firefighters even? That's not straightforward. Some sort of arrangement is going to have to be made for them. Also, from what we understand, the arrangements that the vast majority of children will be doing, will be learning online on that, aren't quite finalised. So parents are left a little bit hanging today. It seems clear that the kids aren't going back to school next Monday in the majority of cases. But what's not clear is exactly what's going to occur. I do think that detail needs to be put out there pronto so people can start making plans. And quite often in this pandemic, it's not necessarily about concrete plans. It's more about people getting their heads around what's coming up next. That's very difficult to do if we don't know what exactly the arrangements are, how we're expected to homeschool our children, who's going to school, who isn't. All of these are things that we need to know, and I'd suggest need to know quite quickly.
Yeah, well, I welcome you to that club of parental uncertainty. We've been in it for weeks now. Noel, thanks so much for joining me. We will catch up again with you some point through this crisis.
Thank you, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Anu Hasbold and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search, subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.